Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful day it is going to be when we're able to be with our Father in heaven. But there is a lot that we need to do to prepare. I was sitting there thinking about the parents that taught their children when they came home from school to take off their school clothes and put on their play clothes. Or those parents that dropped their children off at the daycare and the babysitter would change those children into some play clothes. And before parents come to pick them up, they would put their other clothes back on them, wanting them to stay clean, to stay pure. We, those of us that have put Christ on through the watery grave of baptism, we became pure. As Brother Robert was reading that scripture, I don't know if you were really paying attention or not, but we are supposed to remain pure for a very long time, or it could be a short time. It all depends on when you die. I was listening to the 4th and 5th and 6th and 7th grade class this morning, and they were talking about the time that God has given man to live, that his lifespan would be 120 years. So if you obeyed the gospel at a young age, let's say 10, and you live to be 120, that's a long time to remain pure, isn't it? You have 110 years. But understand this, that all have sinned, but all don't have to sin. And if we do sin, God gives us a way out of sin. We ask him, we confess unto him our faults, and he's just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness in 1 John 1 and verse 9. Let us understand the importance of doing what is right before God. A lot of times we try to please men, and man is so wishy-washy. One day they're for you, the next day they're against you. One day they say you can do this, the next day they say you can't do it. What did God say? Remain pure. In Philippians 1, we're going to read verse 8 through 11. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. Now, I want you to just look right there for a minute at God being his witness. Now, you've heard me say this before. When someone comes, there's an accident outside of your home and you were in the house sleeping, which we experienced that one Sunday afternoon. We heard this loud boom, and What had happened is a lady came down Broadway. We're going, back down Broadway. That would be up, I suppose, whichever way. Heard this loud boom. And I jumped up, and I had changed into my soft clothes and ran outside before I knew what I was doing. Got corrected later, but that's okay too. We did not witness that accident. We heard that accident. Our God knows what all of us are doing at the same time. He knows. He's witnessing everything all the time. So Paul is saying here, for God is my witness. And then you drop down to verse 10. It says, so that you may approve. Well, let me go back to verse 9. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. How much love do they have? They have a lot of love. They're doing what they were supposed to. And he said that it may abound, that it may continue more and more. With knowledge and all discernment, understanding, right from wrong. Going back to the garden when Adam and Eve were pure. They desired to know right from wrong. We do not have to teach our children wrong. Think about it. They're going to learn it sooner or later. We don't have to teach it to them. Now, when they mess up, we point out that is not right. But we don't have to teach it to them. Let's keep them simple. Not stupid, not crazy, but simple. To what sin is all about. They will be exposed to those things sooner or later. But here, Paul is saying that with knowledge and all discernment. Verse 10, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless. For the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, Paul didn't tell the Philippians here in this letter that you just do right for a little while. You've shown love and that's enough. That's not what he said. He said that your love may be more and more, that it may abound, and that you may be pure and blameless for the day of judgment, for that great day, the day of Christ. That's the day of judgment. It's called many things, and this is the day that we're looking forward to. But understand purity. If we die contaminated, you're not going to make it into heaven. You're not looking forward to that day of Christ, to the day of wrath, to the judgment day, to that great day. You're not looking forward to that day. Although many of us may have already died before Christ ever returns. Do you think the rich man is looking forward to that day? You know, he asked Lazarus, he asked Abraham, could you send Lazarus back to talk to my five brothers? He wasn't looking forward, or he's not looking forward to that day. He did not want his brothers to come to the place in which he was residing at that time and still residing. The day of Christ. We are to remain pure and blameless. Again, purity is defined freedom from anything that contaminates. Freedom from anything that contaminates. I can put all different types of water up here by these different companies. And each one of those companies would say that their water is purer than the next man's water. And then there will be a new company to come about and say, my water is purer than their water. I want you to buy my water. You want to drink some pure water? Drink the water that Christ has to offer. That's the purest of the pure. All those other waters contain contaminations, things that have impurities in them. Now they even say, don't put that water or store that water in your automobiles, for the sun is coming through that windshield and it is causing those plastics to break down, and that water is even more contaminated. But we don't care, do we? We're going to drink the water regardless, because we need water for our bodies to continue to be the bodies that they are supposed to be. I don't know the percentage, but that the body is made up of the water percentage that our body is made up of, but it's a great percentage, and we need water. But we have to make sure that our spiritual bodies are pure before God. Pure before God. We have to make sure of that. If you are planning on getting to heaven, there are some things that you need to cease doing. There are some ways that you need to cease behaving in. There are some things that you need to quit saying to have your spiritual body pure before God. When does purity start? When does purity start? A lot of times we wait until our children get old enough to go to school, and we allow the teachers to teach them about purity. How to behave themselves. I was reading something the other day, and it was from a teacher, and she said, if you let your child talk back to you at home, he or she will talk back to me at school. If you allow them to disrespect you at home, they will disrespect me at school. If you don't make them mind at home, they're not going to mind at school, and so on and so forth. When does purity start? When does it start? It starts in the home. And it even goes to the womb. You read to your children, or you have read to your children that were in the womb. And some mothers that are pregnant now are reading to their children in the womb. Although there are some that say that that is not life. They do not know God. They do not believe in God's word. And we'll talk about that sermon a little bit later on in the month. But know and understand that purity starts in the home with the parents, not with the teachers, not with the teachers at school, not with the teachers at Bible class, not with the preachers from the pulpit, but it starts in the home. If they're not getting that teaching in the home, then they very well will get it from somewhere else. But not only will they get the pure things, but they will get the impure. The things that will corrupt them. The things that they will think that they love me because they're taking time to teach me these things. There are little children. They go out into the community and they want to fit in. And they join themselves with gangs. And they say, this is my family. And the reason they say that those gangs are their family, because their family at home is not taking time to talk to them, to teach them the things that are right. But there in Proverbs chapter 20, and the verse is 11. Proverbs chapter 20, and the verse is 11. Even a child makes himself known by his acts. By whether his conduct is pure and upright. A child, a little child. They ain't talking about, you know, big kids, talking about a little child. You can understand if they are doing what's right or not doing what's right. Even a child makes himself known by his acts. You look at what they're doing. Look at how they're treating their parents in grocery stores, in clothing stores, walking up and down the mall, out in public in the city parks. Watch how they talk to their parents. And you'll know if that child is disciplined or not. You'll know if that child is one that respects his parents. You know, it always pleases parents when they're sitting in a restaurant and somebody walks by and they say, oh, he or she is so well behaved. We used to laugh at that. Well, there's a reason why they're well behaved, because they have been well taught in many ways. You know, spare the rod, you spoil the child. Well, what's the rod? The rod of correction is many different things. And when they came up with that time out, I was like, time out. Let's do something different. No, let's go back and do what we have always done. We talk about the gospel message. What do we need to draw people in? We need the gospel. What do we need to keep our children in line? We need discipline. Teach them. Because again, they are known by their actions, whether they're good or whether they're bad. People, again, we understand, we thank them. And I used to say, if that child was mine, I don't say that anymore. Let them keep their children. If they want their children to be unruly, let them be unruly. We don't get in other people's business like that. But if they just had the opportunity to listen to God's word and to understand the importance of teaching their children the truth, how to behave, oh, this world would be a better place. It would be a better place. There still would be sin. There still be people that would not do right, but it would be a better place. In Proverbs 22, and the verse is 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Again, parents need to understand their responsibility. Teach or train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Teach them, train them in the way they should go. Don't go down that road there, go down this road. Don't go to the red light district. Go to this district over here. You know, a lot of times we do things that we're told not to do. And we do those things because we don't want to listen to nobody. We don't think that fat meat is greasy. We don't think that the heater's hot. It is. So we need to train our children in the right way. Does that say that they will never, you know, turn their backs on God? No. But you know what they will do? They will remember. When they get out there in the world and the world means them no good, they will remember what you taught them. And hopefully they will be like the prodigal son, as we read that parable there, that they will come to themselves and they will realize, I had it so much better at home. Nah, the door's closed. The door's closed. I'm not saying that we don't accept them back into the church. But a lot of times we don't let them back into our homes, but we still try to teach them the right things. Try to get them to stand up on their own two feet, to do the things that are right before God. You know, you've tried every other way. Now give God a try. Your parents have taught you the right things. Do the right things. Sin contaminates. It contaminates us. It separates us away from God. Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2 tells us. But it contaminates us. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. According to Romans chapter 3 verse 23. All have sinned. And if you have no sin, this message is not for you. You appear. If you've never sinned, shall I say, you appear before God if you've never sinned. But what you're doing is you're calling God a lie. And our God cannot lie. Go and read 1 John chapter 1. Read through it. Understand what His word says. His word does not contradict itself. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But you do not have to remain in sin. You can come away from it. You can do what is right before Him, and He expects you to. He desires you to. He gives you the opportunity to. Seize the moment. Give your life over to God. Quit living in sin. People are looking. Oh, no, no way. No way that can be His son. No way that's her daughter. Why are they acting like this? They're acting like this because they think that no one is watching. But somebody is watching. Somebody is praying. And somebody is telling. And something needs to be done. We need to talk to our children about being pure, about being respectful, about being that person that God has designed them, has created them to be. When does it start? It starts in the home. And if you're not teaching it, start teaching it. So they may understand what they need to do. If you teach them right, they'll recognize wrong. They'll recognize the things that they shouldn't do. You tell them that the hot is on the left and the cold is on the right. And they mess around and say, I'm going to turn the cold water on. And they turn the cold water on from the left. What are they going to get? They're going to get hot. Unless you're in Mexico. Unless you got a Mexican working on your system. And then you're going to get cold. It's been switched. But we have to understand again that whatever, whoever did it, understands what they have done. To do right is listening to God. To do wrong, you're listening to the devil. So let's do right. And let's not allow sin to contaminate us. Looking at what is right keeps one pure. Looking at what is right keeps one pure. In the book of Judges, chapter 17. In the book of Judges, the chapter is 17. Dante, come up here. Bring your stuff. Bring your writing materials. Come on up here. Judges 17. We have to understand that we need good leaders. We need good leaders in order to do the things that are right before God. Some instruction. Someone to guide us in the right way. So here in Judges chapter 17, and the verse is 6. Judges chapter 17, and the verse is 6. Again, knowing that we need good leaders. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. There wasn't a good leader. The people were for themselves. I think this is right, so I'm going to do this. I think this is right, so I'm going to do this. I mean, what are they doing over there? What they're doing is not right. What I'm doing is right. You know what's right? What God has said. God had already told them, in reference to having a king, what that king would do for them. But here you find that when there was no king in Israel, the people did that which was right in their own eyes. In their own eyes. See, we need leaders today that are going to instruct the people in accordance with God's word. And when we as the people hear the leaders telling us what we need to do, we go and we look in the scriptures and we find that those things are true and we do those things. We do the things that are right in the eyes of God. Not man, but in the eyes of God. Because with man, anything goes. What's behind curtain number one? What's behind curtain number two? What's behind curtain number three? Which one do you want? I want the one that's been revealed. Right here in God's word. That curtain has been torn down. That middle wall of partition has been destroyed. We have God's word, and that's what we need to follow. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Nita was sitting there watching me read something on my phone, and she said, "Hey, you, with that 2020 vision," she said, "do like this. Get it in focus. Hang it close and take it away, and you'll be able to read it." You know, the doctors, eye doctors say I have 20/20, but from time to time I need cheaters. Today, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How clear is your sight? How clear do you see the things that God wants you to do? And are you doing those things? In Luke chapter 11, starting with verse 32. In Luke chapter 11, starting with verse 32. "No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness." Now, let me give you some facts real quick. One fact anyway. If you close your eyes, it is 100% known that you will see nothing. Close your eyes. Try it. I know some of y'all say, "Yes, I can." No, you can't. Darkness. That's what you're going to see. If you are in sin, you are living in darkness. "Therefore, be careful, lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it would be wholly bright, as when a lamp with his rays gives you light." We need to see. We need to see what God has in store for us. We need to see in the direction that God wants us to see. We need to allow others to see the work that we're doing. Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Amen. Let your light shine. Do what is right. We need leaders that will lead us in the right direction, and we need to follow them. Don't do what we want to do. We need to have our bodies full of light. Let our eyes see what it is supposed to see. When there is something that's dark over there, turn away from it. As you turn, your light is still going to shine. And hopefully they will see that. And they will come away from that darkness. In the book of Romans chapter 8, keep focused on what is right. Keep focused on what is right. Find your focal point. You know, they used to, talking to young men, talking to older men that desire to preach, and they say, "You know, I look out there amongst the congregation and I see frowns on people's faces, and I see this happening, and I see that happening, and how can I focus on what I need to focus on?" Find you somebody that look like Brother Butch and just look at him and preach to him. You put it down for the calves, and the cows will fend for themselves. Preach the word. Do what is right. But you need to keep focused. Find your focal point. A lot of times, don't look at the people. Look over their heads. Do what is right. Keep focused on God's word. Start with verse 1. "There is therefore no condemnation. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." That person is pure. "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled." Might be fulfilled now. Understand that some people are going to do what's right and others are not going to do what's right. "Be fulfilled in us, that it might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live, there in verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. What is your mind set on right now? Think about it. What is your mind set on right now? Is it the things of the flesh? The things that you want to fulfill in your body? The things that you want to have to satisfy your needs? Or is your mind set on things that will help you in your Christian walk, in this journey that we call life? What is your mind set on? If it's of the flesh, you need to change your focus. You need to refocus. If it's changed on the Spirit, keep it right there. Clothed with Christ keeps one pure. Clothed with Christ keeps one pure. He's our greatest example. Christ committed no sin. Who better to follow than Christ? We've already discussed it and understand that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Even Paul, there in 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Or imitate me as I imitate God. It all depends on which version you're reading. God is God, though, isn't it? We've already looked at that in several different passages. So whether your version says Christ or your version says God, understand that God is not Christ, and Christ is not the Spirit, and the Spirit is not God. But they're all God. They're all for the same thing. I mean, if you like ice in your water, all you're doing is putting more water in your water. Think about it. If you could catch the vapor and put it back in that glass, you still have water. Do you have God? Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Putting Christ on, there in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Putting Christ on is what makes you pure. And keeping him on keeps you pure. As many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you have not been baptized into Christ, you are not here. You're not one of his children. Become one of his children by doing the things that are right. 1 John chapter 3. Let's just start with verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. Listen to this just for a moment here. I'm going to read it again, just that first sentence there, or that first half of that sentence. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. Then the second part, of course, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. Listen to this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The same writer that wrote 1 John 3 wrote John 3. That's John. How do you become one of his children? We've already said that there in Galatians chapter 3. How do you remain one of his children? We read that there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's keep reading. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. You purify yourself. How do you purify yourself? By doing what God says. That's how you purify yourself. You do what God says. Are you clothed with Christ? Or are you focused on the things that are right? Are you living a life that God is pleased with? Are you being taught the right things? If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God and you want to become one, you want to become pure because you know that your life is dirty. Not your skin, not your clothes, but you know that your life is dirty. You know that your mind is filled with things that are clouding it to see clearly. You know that. Well, get to know God. Come forth and make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Being immersed in the watery grave of baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. Do what is right. Maybe you're here and you're strayed away from the fold. We're asking you to come back this morning. We're asking you to ask for forgiveness for your sins. We're asking you to ask the congregation to pray for you that you may be strengthened. If you're here in your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.